The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the app and sign up with code WMVP for participating offers. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Use promo code WMVP today.
This is the 25th anniversary of ESPN Chicago, and it's time to enter into Crosstalk. A reminder from your boss, Danny, keep this virgin very much hinged. Please welcome back to the stage, here at the House of Blues, Carmen, Yurko, Waddle, and Sylvie.
Thank you, Ray.
Check.
Waddle and Sylvie are here for Crosstalk.
Check.
We do it every day at 2.
Check,
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 check, check. As we wrap up, we always like to give thank yous back at the shop. Jake Cantu, working hard, great work. Charlie Bevins. Eric Ostrowski, Tyler, everybody, thank you guys for all the hard work for putting this together. Thanks again to all of you for coming out and experiencing this with us and enjoying it with us. Cutler's going to be on a little bit later.
Yeah.
Jim Greco's here. Robbie Gold.
The Spaniard.
Is Robbie in the building?
The Spaniard's going to be on.
Sarah Spain's going to be on.
Friedel will be
Nick
in here.
Nick Friedel, the Bulls beat reporter.
Good kid, good kid.
Yeah,
make sure we get some cheeseburgers for Nick up here.
Yeah, make sure there's a cheeseburger waiting for
He's
Nick.
Like,
by the way.
Yeah, Waddle and Sylvie are here for Crosstalk.
Help us bust his balls because because he was telling us the other day, called in.
I heard.
That Kyle Schwarber's not a clutch player.
I heard.
But don't get all analytically.
No, well, like Yurko and I said it the other day.
Bill
James famously said, for years would always say there is no such thing as a clutch player.
Numbers without emotion.
The mathematics simply dictate that it's impossible to define a clutch player. And then Bill James, sometime in the early 2000s, the teens.
Saw the light.
Well, he worked for the Red Sox for a lot of years, and he said, you know what, I've watched David Ortiz for a decade, and I think there might be a clutch player.
Right.
Mathematics will never be able to truly define it, and that's fine. But, of course, we know some guys just know how to do it and know how to handle it. And Kyle Schwarber is without a doubt.
Outperform the normal.
Without a doubt, for whatever reason, and it's impossible to quantify, Kyle Schwarber never is in a moment in a big game where it's too big for him.
Exactly.
Ever. I don't know
how
that is. The
lights are never too bright. The stage is never too big.
Never. Never, ever, ever. It is.
We need to pull Kyle off the field and join us on the show.
He's going to have valleys where he's going to go 0-for-20 and strike out 11 of those 20 at-bats, and he's going to go down to 210 in the middle of the year. But if you live with that, in the moments when you need him, he's going to make it pay.
I said to Yurko, I honestly don't think I'd want to construct today a baseball lineup in a game I had to win without Kyle Schwarber.
And that's what DeRosa said.
I'm 100% serious. I don't think I would put a lineup together without having him in it.
Now, I get it.
And he's not Mike Trout. He's not Mookie Betts. He's not Bryce Harper. I wouldn't put a postseason lineup together without him in it.
What do they say? Like numbers, if you interrogate them long enough, they'll say whatever
they'll tell
you
whatever
you say.
They'll tell you.
Look, Mike Trout's 12 postseason at bats, one hit. Like, I get it. It's still the best player in Shohei may be better than him, but so that story is what it is. But when you look at what Kyle Schwarber has done, he's not Mike Trout. He's got 15 home runs in the postseason.
I know. It's incredible.
I don't know why.
So, what are we going to do?
Are
we going to beat Nick Friedel when he gets here?
Yes, that was the essence. Yes.
Take our belt off and whip him? I don't know.
Yeah, that was the essence of the conversation.
Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
Sylvie.
All right, let's talk about the radio station instead of us.
Sylvie. I had to get that off my chest.
Sylvie.
Sylvie was an original hire.
Yes, he was.
I joined
part of the original six.
I joined
the original sin, however you want to say it.
I joined 2 months later.
What do you got, a ham sandwich?
What do you got, a sandwich in your pocket?
What's going on? I brought my eggs. Should I put it back here?
What's the matter with you?
Wait, you want me to be me, or do you not want me to be me? Well, it's the 25th anniversary. Yeah, I'm going to be me.
We got a sous vide egg.
Take you out,
Sylvie's in a
restaurant. Look, I'm shamelessly me. I mean, what do you want from me?
I started 2 months in. Yurko did May of 01.
May of 01.
Tommy Waddle,
last
April
Monday.
Of 07?
Last Monday.
Yeah. April of 07?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I did a shift.
Right after the Bears Super Bowl.
I did a shift in
2000. April of 07.
I did a shift in 2000.
No.
With Sylvie.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Your first show was, with
Sylvie.
With me.
Yes. Yeah.
How about that?
I was on the updates. I was on the anchor desk that night. I was there.
And you came back.
Post-game show.
And you came back.
He came in. Yurko was a few months removed from ending his playing career in Cleveland. His hamstring was torn. He was done. He knew he was done. Sylvie was doing pre and post. I feel like it was Duerson and you, wasn't it?
It was. But Duerson had an event.
Dave had like an event at Notre Dame. And so they asked Yurko to do it. And Yurko came. And I'm on the update desk that night. Sylvie's the host of our Bears coverage. Yurko comes in, takes out we were in the Hancock building. Cheesecake Factory was downstairs.
Takes out
his credit card. He said, order whatever you want, guys. Dinner's on me. And we're like, oh, I like this guy.
Like in Step Brothers. I'm going to Cheesecake Factory. So we got some Cheesecake Factory for the kids.
Order whatever you want. It's on the good kid. It's on that NFL.
It was impressive.
It was impressive.
I was 1 year removed, so I could sleep through the Bears game and the Packers game and still be able to do it.
Nothing like Tony Romo.
Nothing like buying Allegiance early, too, right?
You have to. You got to be smart.
Lay
the foundation.
Yeah. Wait, do we all have this in common, or the three of you have this in common? Were all of your first talk shows on ESPN 1000 with me?
Yes. Like, my first pre- and post-game show was with Storm and Norman Van Leer, but my first talk show was with you, yes.
I think so.
Your first show with me.
With you.
Your first show here with me.
I believe so.
How about that?
You believe it?
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
What does that mean?
Your tentacles.
Isn't that cool? We're off of Sylvie's tree. That's what he is. That's what he's claiming.
Oh,
We're branches off of the tree.
This is a little stump.
What, Sylvie's stump.
What's the tree that's been infected by the Asian horn beetle?
It's an ash.
The beetles.
The beetles would have to be cut down.
Are you a boar ash? You're a boar ash.
Yeah,
you're boar ash.
That tree would have to be cut down.
Did you say boar ash?
I think that's
my
what
tree,
it is.
That would have to be cut
is.
Down.
No. I think it is a boar ash.
No, it's an ash borer. The bug is the one that bores into the ash tree.
Okay, well, it sounded good.
Speaking of the tree, like the 25 years of ESPN Chicago, Yurko and I were talked about it a little bit the other day. Adam Amin was a former intern of ours. Alex Maragos, who's turning into a star on NBC, he does news. I mean, he's not even doing sports.
Yeah.
He's an anchor. I mean, he's going to be a star. He's going to be doing network news someday. Alex Maragos, who's local and intern for us and is working for NBC Chicago now. Dieter Kurtenbach, who interned for us, who covers the Golden State Warriors. Sahadev Sharma, who's a great writer for The Athletic and covers baseball. I mean, like, and I'm probably forgetting some people, too, that have gone on to do some really incredible things that were part of our crew over the years, that were with us, that helped us, maybe learned a thing or two from us. We didn't ruin them. I mentioned Amin, right? Yeah, Adam Amin.
Right away you mentioned him.
I mean, it's crazy.
Danny Parkins at the other
station. Danny Parkins down the dial. Jordan Burnfield.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of guys that have worked with us that were part of the station's history that have gone on to do very successful things in the business. It's rewarding when
it happens. It's a circle of life because I think isn't our first guest Marcin Greco?
Yeah.
And we're off of his tree.
Yeah. Sylvie and I are off of the Gene Greco tree.
Where we interned for Gene Greco.
Yeah.
That's a funky tree.
I'm off of the...
What kind of tree?
The Mark Gene Greco...
Funky tree.
Don Wade and Roma tree. I consider that my...
Are you really?
Yeah, I worked for them. I was my first gig. He was the first guy to ever put me on the air as like a man on the street because he thought I was funny.
And what was your first show? What was your first presentation?
I was at a Boy Scouts of America. We're doing a trip around the country with the largest popcorn ball in the world. True story. Outside of... across the street from the Wrigley building.
Yeah. Largest popcorn ball in the world.
Yeah. And Sylvie took me under his wing when he didn't have to, but he did.
How was that? How was that tutelage?
We have a 25-year friendship, like, and we're great friends. I mean, and he, you know, I mean, not only did we...
Was he hard on you?
Friends,
was he hard
no,
on
never,
you?
No, never. No?
Were you hard on him?
Just at night.
The best story.
What does that mean? I know what you're insinuating.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So when I first got into the business, Sylvie was already like a little, kind of a, like he was becoming
he's
like
a little bit of a star.
Because he was a young guy, and he was like, man, this guy was in Iowa, now he's covering the Bears. And he was at WBN.
And that was the prize beat.
And then and he's coming
that
by us.
That was a good beat.
But,
the Bears beat was the beat.
It was a beat, and I had already covered three Bulls championships.
Yeah. He was kind of like a star, and I'll never forget this. It was like my...
Were you starstruck right away?
Well, I had never even met him yet. I had seen him when I was working for Gian Greco. I had seen him at Halas Hall once. And I hadn't, this was probably like 1997, so I hadn't even been hired. I was working at WLS, and I was working for Mark. And I was like up at Hallis Hall, and I'm like, that's the Silverman. That's Sylvie. Everybody calls him Sylvie.
That's the Silverman.
I'm like, that's the Silverman guy.
That's the Silverman.
I'm like, there he is. That's Sylvie. He's like this rising star. Then I get hired, and I haven't even officially met him. It's like my second shift. I'm doing overnight. I'm doing 6 to 10 was my first shift. And I did that for about a month, and they're like, you suck. You got to do midnight to 6. It was like 6 to 10. It's a Saturday night in December. Never met him. Phone rings in the sports office. I pick it up. He's like, hey, you the new guy? And I'm like, yeah, this is Carmen. He's like, hey, it's Sylvie. And I was like, wow. I'm like, he goes, hey, I got a girl back at my apartment. Play one of my raps in your next SportsCenter update. I swear to God. I'm like, no problem. I got it. I got you covered, man, right? So rap, Sylvie.
A sports rap was what's going to get you where you want to go.
I got a girl over at the apartment. He goes, play one of my raps. This is like one of Sylvie's Bears reports.
Time out. Why were you listening to the station at that time when you had a date?
I was probably ready to impress her. He's like, hey, I'm on the radio.
Do I have to explain this to you? You wonder why I didn't get married till I was 40. You wonder why I could not keep a girlfriend. I was calling him in the middle of a date.
Like 10 o'clock.
To play a Bears rap.
To impress your date.
I thought I would impress this girl.
Oh, my God.
I had zero game. There was nothing there. Very shallow. And this is why.
Did it work?
Did it work? This is why I didn't get married until I was 40.
She was running for the hills.
I didn't think it took so long.
Oh, it was amazing.
Should have played him to Goran Ivanisevic.
And the best part was I get ready to throw it to the rap, and I'm like, you know, I'm doing this job for 2 weeks. And I go, and now with the latest on the Bears as they prepare for the Packers on Sunday, here's Matt Silverman.
No, did you really?
I swear to God. And I'm trying to remember.
That's why it didn't go the way you wanted it to go.
Oh, dude, it was hilarious.
Matt, from now on.
It was classic, man.
That's awesome.
And now we've got a 25-year close personal.
Well, and how about some of the pranks that we used to pull on people back in the sports office back in the day?
Didn't you guys do something for Gian Greco for his birthday?
We did.
Did you get suspended?
Back then it was sort of
a flying V.
Yeah.
We brought in adult entertainers when Gian Greco turned two. It must have been when his 50th, right? It must have been your 50th when we brought the girls in, remember?
He doesn't remember.
I think Gian Greco was turning 50.
You guys closed the blinds.
We closed the blinds in the studio.
Nighttime.
It was nighttime, but we closed them anyway, just in case anybody was coming and going off the elevators.
Right.
You can see the studios off the elevator.
Last thing you need was Emily Barr walking
and,
by.
And our friends at Grin and Barrett brought a few girls over.
And I think we even played the card. Hey, this is the Sylvie and Carmen show, Grin and Barrett.
Yes.
Mark Gian Greco's on our show. Can we get the little bit of a little discount here?
Right.
As we'll give you love on the air.
Yes.
He's going to do the 10 o'clock.
Literally.
Tradio.
It was like Tradio.
Pagola.
They came in, got naked in the studio, and proceeded on the air to sing Happy Birthday, Mr. Sportscaster, to Gian Greco for his 50th. Yeah.
Did he get naked?
Good times. I think he had a good time.
Then they put him in a figure four leg lock.
I think they might have been wrestling him with on the ground or something.
And then he went downstairs and did the 10.
And then he did the news. Yeah.
He said he was dialing the station in.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Sylvie and I once invited girls back to, like, impress them. He's right. This is all we had.
Before this was all frowned upon.
Oh, totally. I mean, this is a different era.
At least we thought.
We invited girls to watch us, like, do our talk show. They were, like, DePaul students and... You know, we met him at some bar, and we're like,
why
don't you come watch us do our radio show tonight?
You guys are dorks.
Yes, we were.
And you wonder why I didn't get married till I was 40.
Is it? I mean, come on. You know, we thought it was the coolest thing
ever. Did it ever work?
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes it worked.
Yeah?
Yeah. We did all right. We ended up okay for ourselves.
Did management know that you were actually using the station as a brothel?
We flew under doing the show 7 to 10. You'd fly under the radar. No one cared about what was going on at the radio station at 7.
As long as you didn't destroy the equipment.
That's it.
Right.
Which Joe Fisher tried to do once, but...
Well, he was trying to make magic. He was trying to make sound.
He couldn't find the sound effect of bottles clinking, and in his infinite wisdom, and I love Joe deeply, and I just talked to Joe, actually, I don't know, within the last year, he took two bottles of beer out of the fridge and was clanking them over the microphone.
And spilled.
It exploded. Yeah. It completely destroyed like a $10,000 board.
As long as you don't
so the Carmen, the Carmen and Sylvia, the Sylvia and Carmen show did get in a little bit of trouble for that.
They put the boards up, though. They put the boards up in the hallway.
They did.
As
they were
specimens,
singed.
What not to do.
Yeah, they were singed.
It was like a
all
wall
the circuit boards were completely
It was
singed.
A wall of fame.
Yeah.
Of what you shouldn't do.
Well, it's Waddle. You walk in. So you walk in, and the timeline's wrong. You walk in of February of 07.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. So then we took over then.
After the Super Bowl.
In the mid-days. Yeah. We did nights for a few months. It's February of 07. Yeah. What you're working down the dial.
Yeah.
And like that, those are big hitters. And then you walk into our station. What are your thoughts in your first few months
of
this radio station?
Well, first of all, my first thought was, damn, this kid's tightly wound.
I didn't say of me. No, that's of the radio station.
No, damn, this kid's tightly wound.
No,
I think
he
called me and said, is he always so high strung? I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't say that. No, I think what I was attracted to in terms of the station from the very beginning exists now. Everyone gets along. Everyone, you know, is pulling on the same end of the rope, and everyone's got, you know, most of the same passions, and, you know, everyone's looking to have fun
and drink.
And like a lot of the relationships go beyond when the, you know, the clock strikes 2 or 6 or whenever it does. And I think that we've all become good friends. And I think that, you know, I mean, could you have predicted that the first show I did? No, but I had the feeling that was the atmosphere that existed. So
we got a great bond.
It's
here,
been
man.
Great, yeah. It's
we
been
really do.
All of it is. I mean, I don't know if it's unique to this industry or, like, I mean, even in the locker room, the good kid could tell you. I mean, you were friends with pretty much everyone, but you weren't going to dinner with everyone.
You didn't need to like everyone. You just needed to respect everyone.
Yes.
I think that's what you kind of have.
Yeah.
As long as you got a respect for everybody, everything's good.
And you got a smaller crew at a radio station.
Right.
So, like, I mean, no, it's been – I think that's the thing that resonates with me even now 16 years later.
It's great.
You're pretty cool.
So, yeah,
you're
pretty cool,
my
man.
You're pretty cool.
You are.
Matt's cool as hell.
Matt's very cool.
Yeah,
Matt's
good
one
kid
of the best. The good kid I love to death.
Matt. It's been fun. I mean,
think about all the time I've spent with Yurko over the years. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, here's hoping. Listen, I'm 56. What's 25 and 56? You know, that's 81.
Yeah.
I won't be doing this at 81.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going
to
wheel him in right now.
Here he comes.
He doesn't know where he is, so let's keep down the applause.
He gets scared with loud
noises. It's the 50th anniversary. He worked here between the years of 2007 and 2027. Let's give it up for Tom Waddle.
Former Bear, Tom Waddle.
Wiping drool off my face.
He is being attended by his daughters and his nurse.
Yeah.
That's right.
And don't be scared. That's just a straw so he can breathe.
I know we're going to be back up with you guys. I think that's nice.
Yeah, through the throat. He's got a tracheotomy from all the smogs that he was smoking.
From all those Marlboros on the golf course.
This is what I love about this.
If you come to the golf outing this summer, you could see Waddle smoking heaters on the golf course.
Look, I think that certain things go together.
Smoking darts.
You may think that summertime and lemonade go together. Golf and a good Marlboro Light go together for me.
In Waddle's world, it's golf and a Marlboro Light,
right.
Baby.
Doesn't make me a bad guy, does it?
I agree with him. You should smoke on the golf course.
Yeah.
But my smoke is a cigar.
Right.
That's right.
And you're going to tell me it's better for you. A cigar is just 40 cigarettes wrapped up into one. That's all it is.
Well, actually, there's no chemicals. No chemicals.
Really?
That's right.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
Handmade.
If you're not inhaling,
you can
no
believe
chemicals.
It. Oh, yeah. Like, you're not. You got 5 beers in you on a golf course,
inhaling a cigar.
And you're not a little bit. You think when you put in your mouth, some of the smoke from a cigar isn't getting here?
Never.
Then you let yourself think that, young man.
Puff the magic dragon, kid.
Yeah.
Puffing a cigar.
Listen,
smoke a dart.
We'll be back with you guys in a little bit. You got Gian Greco's coming up.
You guys going to be hammered at 5,
we're
aren't
hammered.
You?
Robbie's coming. Jay's coming. I want to say, this has been fun. It's been fun to see a lot of old friends and familiar faces, and we got a lot of years, a lot of tears in this place too. I said it earlier. We all wish JD were here.
Yes.
I wish Norm were here. I got to work for almost 10 years with Norm Van Leer. He was the first guy I ever did any sort of like live show with, doing Bulls post game, and I got to be very close to Norm, and I can't believe how long Norm's been gone already. It was 2009 when Norm and Red passed on the same night, on that February night. I wish Norm were here. I wish JD were here. Willsie was coming in. Willsie was great to us, as we talked about. So there are some people here that definitely need recognition that were great people that we love that were huge parts of this radio station.
Do you know who I wish was here, too, today? I don't know if anyone's mentioned him at all. I'm sure you guys did. Is Mongo.
Mongo. Yeah.
Like Mongo is still on this earth. But
he's
what Mongo has meant
call.
To this radio station, and what I would give today to have Mongo as we know him walk in his with his strength and to make one of his off-brand jokes off the air, of course.
With that leather jacket.
With that leather jacket. And that dog running around, probably taking a poop right there in the corner of the stage.
Yep.
And then one of those old off-brand jokes, what I would give for that, and a big hug from Mongo.
Yeah.
But that guy still, to this day, is still as tough as anybody on the face of the earth. And we love Mongo. Just know that.
Amen. Mongo is a huge part of this place for 15 years. You're right, Sylvie. So great stuff. Thanks again to everybody for coming out. Marky Mark's coming up with you guys, right?
And this is very important, too. And I hope everyone here at the House of Blues will join me in doing this, because the next guy we're bringing up didn't get the send-off he deserved.
That's right.
And I hope that today, in front of all of you, the hundreds of people here, will give him the notoriety, the applause, the affection that this man, who's a true legend in our business, deserves and deserved from the start. And I hope he gets it today. Mark Jean Greco will
join us
next. We
better hear it next. When he comes up, I want it to be the loudest it's been.
That's right.
Thanks for coming, everybody. We'll be hanging out. We'll be back on the stage with the guys later. Waddle and Sylvie are next.
All right. Now time for the important part of the show. And now it's time to look back. To get back, to reach back, back through the history of 25 years of ESPN Chicago on AM 1000. 25 years of personalities.
Good morning, we are back in better than ever, Mike and Mike.
25 years of huge Chicago sports news stories.
The Broncos agree. Look at. Is this a day after April Fool's joke?
This got to be real. An April 2nd
the
joke.
The Denver Broncos agree to trade quarterback Jay Cutler to Chicago.
Light it up, Chicago!
Oh, this is
312-332-3776.
25 years of arguments.
You know, it'll be a nice April, you know, day. Pretty good to see. Why are you joking me?
25 years that included sports championship euphoria.
On the left wing, top to Ingram, three for the win. Good! He made it as the buzzer expires.
We heard the broadcast of the Chicago Bulls winning their sixth NBA championship.
Jordan a drive, hangs, fires, yes! He scores!
We heard the White Sox win the World Series in 2005.
A White Sox winner and a world championship. The White Sox have won the World Series, and they're mobbing each other on the field.
We celebrated the glory of three Stanley Cup championships.
I saw Campbell throw his gloves down, and then all of a sudden he didn't know if it was in either.
It was just like, man, my favorite team in the world just won the Stanley Cup.
We cheered loudly as the Bears tried to beat Peyton Manning in Super Bowl 41.
The Bears are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
We took you to Cleveland in 2016 and witnessed the end of 108 years of agony.
Here comes Bryant, on to first, and the Cubs have won the World Series.
We took you to the Field of Dreams in 2021 to witness the power of a resurgent White Sox team.
Pitch is hit in the air. Deep to right. That ball is gone. White Sox win. The Field of Dreams.
And And in our 25th year as Chicago's home for sports, hopes are as high as the flagship home of the Chicago White Sox.
Ground ball to third. Moncada up with it. Throw to first. It's a no-hitter.
In our 25th year.
This is the new era of the Chicago Bears. It has begun. We are the home of the Chicago Bears right here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN Chicago is just getting started. Up for this afternoon at ESPN Chicago 25th anniversary live broadcast. He was number 87 on the field and number one in Bears fans' hearts. A graduate of Boston College. A beloved member of the Chicago Bears. Who'll ever forget the way he thrilled the nation in Super Bowl 20?
Yeah.
He's a 16-year veteran of the psychic wars of this show. He's Tom Waddle. His radio partner knows where the bodies are buried. This host is the only original member of the station since day number one. His passion for Chicago sports is unrivaled. He was raised in Skokie and a graduate of Southern Illinois University, where he learned all about the courts of tennis. He's Mark Silverman. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up, 25th anniversary style, for Waddle and Sylvie.
Ray Clay, a legend in this town.
Unbelievable, Ray. Great to see you, buddy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the man, not so much a myth, and a guy who has spent years and years on our radio show and has helped us a great deal and has been a true friend to the two of us. And like I said before the break, never really got the send-off he truly, truly deserved. He is the best this town has ever seen. Let's give it up for Mark Gene Greco.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Standing O.
Wow.
Let it be known that there is a standing ovation.
Wow, this is amazing.
Here. We had to come to the House of Blues to actually have you on with us, but.
Yeah, well, since I'm not allowed in the building at Channel 7 anymore. Yeah, let's have a big round of boos for ABC 7. You know what I was thinking, guys, since you're still doing the show from the Streetside studio, why don't I just stand outside on the sidewalk? Do you still have that little microphone out there?
Of course,
I'll just do the show out on the sidewalk. We can do man on the street interviews and everything else. This is the greatest thing in the world to see all these people. I haven't seen in so long. Tom Thayer tackled me back there. Blew out my shoulder again.
Yeah.
It was great. It's great to see everyone. Dan McNeil's waiting for me to smoke a joint with him out back after we're done. So it's just so great. And what's really wonderful is that we continue to stay in touch.
Yes.
And I cherish that friendship forever, man. It's awesome. So I don't miss the TV. I do miss the radio because this is where you can basically let it rip, sort of.
Yeah, we had so much. I mean, just to kind of get back into the groove of it all. Sylvie and I would, you know, we'd be waiting for you, and you'd come into the room, into the studio, and we could tell whether or not it was like a five-alarm fire or it was like a four-alarm fire.
Yeah, damn it.
You had some angst in your face, but it was the passion you had for everything that was going on and your desire to be a perfectionist, and we just had so much fun talking about insignificant
we
stuff.
Sure did. You know, the greatest in-studio interviews when Barkley would come in and you could talk to him face-to-face rather than just on the phone. He was tremendous. When we brought up a camera crew and reenacted Kerry Wood smashing Sammy Sosa's boombox, and I ran that video at 5 o'clock, Kerry Wood's right wife called me and said, "You do not run that at 10. And, of course, I chickened out and didn't run it.
Really?
I was terrified of her.
You buckled to nobody.
I was afraid of her. And then I remember you found a couple of little blue pills on the floor in the studio one day.
Yeah.
And you accused me of dropping it when we found out it was actually Bruce Levine. Did we
ever? Did we ever figure that out? Was it Bruce?
I think so. I think he admitted to it.
Yeah.
So hey, more power, right?
Yeah. See, that was one of the great mysteries.
Yes.
I remember like Abdallah and Black had the hot sauce bandit.
Yeah.
We had the blue pill bandit before it was like widely acceptable with Blue Chew now and everything. Like someone left two blue pills on the ground. And we thought it was you.
Well,
all
I didn't
this
drop
time.
Them, but I was happy to take them.
Hello.
But then I knew Carmen was going to bring up the stripper story for my birthday. And by the way, you know, I did marry that
woman. They
were
woman. Adult entertainers.
Yeah, we got married, and it was quickly annulled. It's kind of like Cher and Greg Allman, you know. But it was a wonderful evening. It was great.
So you don't miss the television, but it's are you still pissed?
Well, I always will look. 95% of my life is tremendous. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I am loving retirement. I'm traveling around the world. My fourth grandchild just came into the world about a month ago. My kids are tremendous. But I need to hold that 5% of anger and hatred just to keep that negative energy going.
It makes you who you are.
Because otherwise, then I'm a forgiving, peaceful, loving blob of goo. You got to stay nasty.
You got to stay nasty a little bit.
So look. I've said this a million times, and we don't need to dwell on it, but I will never forgive or forget why they ran me out, how they ran me out, and especially who did it. And I wish all the people responsible the worst, but it's not really relevant anymore because that place is going to be a car wash in 5 years, you know? So this will endure forever. You're always going to be listening to these guys in your car or whatever. So I'm just honored to have been invited.
Are you seriously, though, enjoying the extra time you get to spend with your grandkids and your kids and doing things that probably the sports world kept you away from? People don't realize. I mean, they do realize that you're on their television at 10:25. But your schedule for decades not many people could hold.
I worked at night for 45 years.
Yeah.
And I was in the business for 50 because I got a full-time job my sophomore year in college. And I was obsessed with it. Larry Lujack was my idol. All I ever wanted to do was be a disc jockey at WLS or Super CFL or CKLW in Detroit, play the hits and just say stupid stuff. And then the sports thing came along. We're all failed athletes except you. And so we get in the business that way. But I don't miss having to do all the homework and grind. And basically, I worked out of fear. You know, fear of getting beat on a story, fear of not being relevant. And now, as a casual, you know, civilian, you know me, I'm a hockey guy. I still watch the NHL, but I boycott the Hawks because I hate the new regime, the way they pushed out Foley and Olchek. And if you want to wait for a 10-year rebuild, go ahead, but I don't have time. And the Rockford Ice Hogs, you know, are not my cup of tea, and that's basically what you're watching. Everybody's excited about the Bears. We're freaking out. I think it's fresh. It's wonderful, and we're all poised with our cream pies waiting for Sylvie to say pace instead of pole.
Right. Oh, you saw that, huh?
Yeah, but he's doing a tremendous job so far on paper. It's great. And
are you an Arlington Heights guy?
No, because I live next door to Soldier Field, and I want to be able to just walk to the game.
So you like that, but won't there be something about, like, the traffic that will free up on game day?
Oh, the traffic is awful, and you can't build any restaurants or concession stands or whatever on Park District property and all that. I say you build, like, a huge rampway out into the lake. Or do what Northwestern does. Just keep reclaiming the lake to make the campus bigger. Just go that way. Yeah, Arlington Heights, no. No, it's got to be a city thing, man. It's got to be in the city. No, you don't. No, you don't like that?
You don't like the 4 hours it takes you to get away from the stadium and get back to your place, even though you live right around the corner?
Well,
the maze you have to walk
through. I don't know. It's the way of the world. You can't stop it. But I have to tell you, I can't watch an NBA game anymore. And baseball, I didn't watch baseball for 2 years, but now I'm excited about some of the rule changes. And I think the World Baseball Classic just breathed new life into the sport. It was fantastic. The problem is, when you're playing for your country and it's just a short tournament, you know, it's wild. It's hard to sustain that for 162 games. So, you know, I have the attention span of a 12-year-old. So
we've always known that.
I can't watch nine games of baseball.
Shocking.
I was just talking to Jesse. Make Major League Baseball 100 games and 7 innings. We're good. I would go with that.
Yeah, no thanks. Come on.
All right, Mark Jean Greco is here, and he's getting the send-off he deserves. What I want to – Waddle hinted on this. When we come back, I want to tell you the Mark Jean Greco barometer on how we knew if it was a good sports cast or a bad sports cast when he walked into our studio. It is the 25-year anniversary. We are live at the House of Blues on Waddle and Sylvie.
Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports. This is the 25th anniversary of ESPN Chicago, and we're here live from the House of Blues in downtown Chicago.
And Mark Jean Greco is on stage with us right now, and we're talking about the great days that Mark would join us. Back when we were originally on, Waddle and I have been doing the show now for 16 years.
60 years?
It feels like 60 for
not
you.
Not true.
16 for
not
me.
Not true.
And you know what? The last time I was in the House of Blues when Corey Crawford fell down the stairs.
Wait, now when did that happen?
Yeah, I was at Smith & Walensky's next door, and I came out, and there was this big ruckus, and there was a concert here. What was it called? The name of the band?
I don't know.
Something like that.
By the way, how many of these stories have you had to just kind of turn your head and not
report?
Not report on.
Oh, now I just let them rip.
I know, but back in the day.
No, back in the day. I mean,
how many did you have to bury? How many stories did you bury?
You know, it was with the changing times in the 80s and 90s. It was the Wild West. Let it rip. You know, the days with Ron Majors, Carol Marine, Jerry Taft. You could really get away with anything on the air. And then when I came over to Channel 7 in 1994, I really noticed how much more conservative and uptight the whole vibe was. And again, then you get into the late 90s, early 2000s, a lot of PC stuff, you know, was frowned upon. And so I had to really hold my tongue, and it was very,
frustrating.
But that's why I had this outlet, which was spectacular. I do the...
This is how it was, I think it was advertised. Even from management sides on the television side, come to the radio
studio, your stuff out,
get it all out, and then come back and be mature, Marky, for the 10.
So how did you know when I was happy
all
or
right,
sad?
All right, so it would be like what they call it in the fire department, like a one alarm fire, two alarm fire, three alarm fire. So like the less buttons that would be unbuttoned when he would come and he would walk into the studio and he would sit down in the chair. And then if he would only unbutton one button when he would unloosen his, he would loosen up his tie, and one button would be loose. It was a great show.
Yeah.
But that tie would get looser, and then he'd take a breath. Two or three buttons would be unbuttoned. The blank hit the fan.
It was like the Incredible Hulk, just with a hair sweater. That's basically what it was.
And by the way, that we just had the anniversary of you having to put the S in your chest.
I saw it on Twitter.
For Nick Friedel.
I had the bet with Nick Friedel. I'm a Dayton grad. He's a Syracuse grad. They played in the NCAA tournament. And whoever lost had to shave an S or a D in their chest. And Nicky's the only guy hairier than me.
I was going to say, both of you were Wolverine. That thing filled in 2 days later.
So we had to shave a big S in my chest, and I just said it was for Superman. But I lost that bet. And speaking of Nick Friedel, and I hope he shows up later, Nicky and I started running into each other at Midway Airport all the time because he was going around the country covering the NBA. And we would just spoon in the corridor right at Midway. You know, nothing like a bear hug
from
Nicky.
He is the sweetest young man on the planet.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to Sylvie's dating days.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, Carmen was my intern when he was in college. Sylvie was my intern when he was in college. And so I would run into him occasionally on a date, and he'd be all nervous and sweaty to begin with. And then he sees me walk in. He's like, oh, my God, he's going to destroy me. But I was nice. I was nice. So then we fast forward a couple years, and his current and forever wife, Allie, was at the station.
Glad that you said current and forever.
Yes, I had
and my only.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's not current.
How about
my
just,
only
how about
and forever
his wife?
Yeah. Well, I remember I asked Diana Ditka once, I said, you're Mike's second wife, right? She goes, I'm his last wife. So I meet Allie. I'm like, oh, my God, you way out kicked your coverage. She's spectacular.
And I go, how long is this going to last? About a week, and then she'll dump you. And you go, no, this is the one. Two children later, yeah, wonderful yeah. marriage later. It was awesome. It's fantastic.
There is. This is a true story, too. One time we were watching March Madness, like what's going on now. An old bar called Theory, which I believe is still there downtown, not far from here. We invited Jean Greco. I was dating a different girl at the time, and some of her friends were there. Mark walks in. He's hanging out with us, my current girlfriend at the time. And he corners me at the other side of the bar when we're going to the bathroom. And he goes, hey, just like a lot of teams in the tournament, this is a bunch of mid-majors right here. I'm like, excuse me? I'm dating this girl. He's like right coming up to me.
See, that's very inappropriate.
Do you want him to tell you the truth or do you want him to?
Well, all those girls came up to me and they were just all over me saying, oh, my God, my grandmother loves you. You know, that's the way it goes. So,
bunch of mid-majors right to my face.
Yeah, well.
So did you leave with one of them?
No. There was no Cinderella in that tournament. Right. So, no. But I did lose a shoe. I remember that. Wow.
Hey.
But do you remember? I remember the greatest times were when we had access to everything. And that meant that reporters could stand on the sidelines at Soldier Field the entire game with your cameraman. And you could feel like a herd. You could feel the ground roar. And you still couldn't get out of the way of a sweep. And you'd get decked on the sidelines. But I always loved Tommy would catch one over the middle, get crushed. Then he'd score a touchdown. So. Coming, you could interview the players coming off the field, and I would grab Tommy. I go, Tommy, you got a minute? He goes, I don't feel too good right now. And then he'd just throw up, and that's how we became friends. And
exactly. So he puked on your shoes.
He puked all over me, and then later you get dressed, showered, you come out, and you're like, hey, man, I'm really sorry.
Sorry about
I'm
puking
like,
on your
you
shoes,
don't have
bro.
To apologize yeah. to me. It was, and that spawned a wonderful friendship.
Yeah. Now he's the everyman, and now he does that after 10 Coors Lights.
Yes.
And then
speaking of that, Tyler Rocky, can I get myself can we a get cold one for the love of everything good and pure in this world?
So then we're at Sylvie's bachelor party, and, you know, we're at the bar downstairs, and then there's another entertainment venue upstairs.
You seem to be attracted to these types of events.
But here's why I want to thank you. You and I were there.
Yes.
And he's tied to a chair, you know.
All right. All right.
You know, but no, nothing bad happened. It was just once again his.
Well, I was just tied to a chair.
Yeah. You're tied to a chair with a shirt off and his obsession with, you know, cream pies again. So, but then you said to me.
Whipped cream.
You said to me, why don't we go outside and have a cigarette? And I said, you know I don't smoke. He goes, we're going to go outside. You know what I mean? And it was like, we don't want to be caught on camera. We don't want to be in a situation like that.
Yeah, we were trying to be mature.
He was Mr. Mature, and I'm like the kid going, what? Why? Yeah. We're missing everything.
Well, I didn't want – it wasn't really about me. I didn't want Mark to end up on somebody's cell phone camera.
That's why I'm thanking you. Yes,
not you.
It was about me.
I wasn't going to be able to save you in the condition you were in. I could still save him.
Don't worry about that belt they're going to use.
And then all the younger guys, when the party was over there, of course, we're going to go out all night.
Yes.
And everybody ran – somebody took my cab. Everybody's like, I got to go home.
Yeah.
My wife and
what
girlfriend.
Did we do?
We went to Benchmark and closed out Benchmark. The two old guys were there till 4 a.m.
Do you want to tell the JD story?
Well,
too,
we had with JD with us.
With his parents here, though.
George and Sandy.
Let's do that
George
when we come back.
George and Sandy right up there, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's do that when we come back. Mark, we want to tell you.
We love you, first of all.
We love you.
Love
and
you guys.
And you have meant the world to this radio station. You meant the world to us as our friends. And we appreciate everything that you have done for this city.
Yes.
And thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We miss you.
Let's do this again, okay?
How about every Friday from a different venue?
Why don't we do that?
I'd love
to. Let's work on that.
Thank you guys so much.
Let's give it up for Mark
Jean
Greco. Waddling Sylvia from the House of Blues. Robbie Gold joins us next.